Is Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Awesome. So we're live. So it's the Coffee with Karen. So I interview a number of coaches, consultants, therapists or healers, really from the conventional to the more woo-woo, to really share their story, share what they do, who they help. And because your host, Karen Roberts, I am the new owner of Mint Wave Radio Station. So we provide a platform for these coaches to get their message heard, right? So today's guest, we have, her name is Precious. What a name. I love that name. So Precious Stevens, if you could share with the listeners a little bit about who you are, first of all.
Hey guys, I am a business coach. I am based in Atlanta, Georgia, and I pretty much help creatives that's trying to turn their intellectual property into profit, meaning they're trying to create a course, maybe an ebook or something like that, so they can share with their audience.
Fantastic. And how did you come to be doing what you're doing? What is your story, Precious?
I'm originally from Baltimore. I've always worked your basic 9-to-5, was very unfulfilled in my business. Had no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew what I was supposed to do being a mom of three. My goal at that point was to just be a mom and take care of my kids. But I was very unfulfilled just going to that regular 9-to-5, doing the same old thing, take the kids to practice, eat dinner, go to bed, rinse and repeat. And I just probably found myself very, very depressed between, I would say, 2015 to 2017. And it just kind of hit me one day, like, I could really be doing something I love doing. And I kind of jumped into entrepreneurship. But the first 2 years was kind of hectic because I had no idea what I was doing. I just was going off impulse, right? I just was going off of something I really wanted to do. So I just kept hitting the brick wall after brick wall, and I found something and I discovered my passion, which was something I was really, really great at. But, and not only being great at the thing, I became the resource. I became the guru. Everyone kept coming to me for help with this thing. So I turned the thing, which is event draping, I turned it into a business. Not only that, I became the prominent figure in that lane. So I became the draping queen. And when I say draping, when you go to events like weddings and celebratory events, you'll see all kinds of pipe and drape, backdrops, things like that. It was kind of unheard of around that time. It wasn't real popular. So We turned it around and made it super popular. And I was able to generate 7 figures from that business. And it really was just using my own natural talents and gifts. So I'm super passionate about helping people do the same, finding out their talent, their gifts, and then turning that into profit.
Wow. And so what was it that inspired you to go into that industry? Because, yeah, it's a very specific niche, right?
It is. So I went to an event, a family event, and the entire family put on this event. It was a wedding. And I was just amazed because at first I was like, this is going to look kind of crappy. I didn't know what to expect. I'm being honest. So I went and I was just like floored. I was floored. I was like, I could do this. Like, I could really do this. So I jumped in. And like I said, I did all the wrong things first. I jumped in thinking it was event planning. And that's what I went with to find out I did not like it. The only thing I liked about the entire experience was draping. I loved it. To this day, I still love it.
Well, there you go. You've always got to choose something that you're passionate about.
Yes.
But if you hadn't have given it a go, you wouldn't have realized that you didn't like event planning, right?
Exactly. So, and in retrospect, my thing is, I'd rather people try the thing, right? Don't sit there and stay on the fence and straddle the fence because you let fear hold you back and all these things. I'd rather you try it and just keep digging at it until you discover something drew you to it, right? You got to discover what you really love about the thing and then kind of just niche down. When they say the riches is in the niches, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, that is always going to be the advice for I mean, I've got to say that I've totally gone the opposite, but I would advise the same to really, 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 really niche down, because then you become the go-to person. So you've managed to build a seven-figure business from an idea that came to you whilst you're at a wedding. I mean, that's pretty spectacular. And it just goes to show that it starts with the idea. But what would you say to people that, you know, they might have this idea, but they don't act on it? So you might not have acted on it, right? But you did something to get you into it to start this business.
Absolutely. I wouldn't suggest doing it the way I did. One thing I can say, I have two things that take me very far in anything I do. For one, I have the desire, right? Anytime I have the desire, I have ideas, I have these visions, but then I also pair that with grit. I have the ability to implement whatever it is and take action. So that's like, if you have this thing that you want to do and you don't do anything with it, it's like pointless. And I knew, getting older in my second phase of life, I did not want to take these thoughts and these visions to the grave. I wanted to really act on them. And at least I can say I tried it, I did it. I don't look at things as a failure if it doesn't work out. I looked at it as, hey, I could just check that off my box.
It's a filter. You've got to filter out what it is you don't enjoy doing.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what life is about? Ending up doing what it is you love doing, what you're passionate at doing.
Absolutely.
And so from there, you've gone into, so now you're business coaching. So who are your specific target audience then?
So my target audience is creatives. It's real. It was in the events industry. I was helping event professionals attract higher paying clients with premium draping. But then I got to a point, I taught them the skill and they still didn't know what to do with it. So it kind of led me into this coaching, like, okay, now I want to teach you the skill, but now I need to also teach you how to price it. I need to teach you how to market it. I need to teach you how to find the people that's going to buy it. So with that, it's so many other, it's almost, you can make a course out of making macaroni and cheese. Everyone always wants to know the thing, and no one does things the way you do it. So the thing is, no matter what, there's 1,000 people that may do what you want to do, but no one's going to do it the way you do it. And I'm just passionate about bringing that out of people and being able to have a tangible, now this tangible thing that they can turn into profit. And for me, it changed my life. Like, it totally changed my entire life in only 4 years. All of this has happened in 4 years. So prior to 4 years, I would have still imagined me still working at that office desk today. Like, I was going to be there until my daughter turned 18. So you built
a seven-figure business with the drapes within 4 years, and now you've even gone on a slightly different route.
Yeah. So I'm a course creator too. So not only with the drapes, but I also am an author. So I kind of opened up different. The one thing, which was draping, allowed me to open up other sources of income. And all of the sources stream from my knowledge, whether if it's a book, it's my book, whether if it's a course, it's my course, if it's a masterclass, it's my masterclass. So it's all about really just taking my knowledge and dumping it into passive income.
Right. And like you say, anybody can do it, because it doesn't matter what level you're at.
Right.
If you know more than that person, then you can create a course to bring that person up. And then maybe someone's out there to bring. I mean, I love it. And I think that is so important, because I mean, have you had coaches in the past?
So in the beginning, I did not. And I think that was another thing that kind of slowed down my progress, because I was just trying to do everything on my own. But that's one of my biggest things today, is definitely invest in coaching, invest in mentoring, because they have the framework, right? They have the thing, they've done it. But it has to be someone that has receipts, right? Don't just go and it's so many people out here that's doing things fraudulently. So you want to definitely make sure that they are someone you want to aspire to be. Like, if it's someone that's at the base level, then that's not someone that can necessarily bring you up, right? So it's like really being, do your due diligence, but that's going to be your shortcut. And success leaves clues.
Yeah, 100%. And the thing is, you know, and the way I see it is, there is a coach for everyone. Like back when I started, I wouldn't have been ready for my last coach. You know, I needed a coach to meet me where I was at that time, mm-hmm. to just take me there. And all of them have been great coaches. I've learned something from and implemented, you know, and it's taken me to the next level and the next level and the next level. So, yeah, because why do you think people think, like you've done it yourself, you thought you could do it by yourself. I initially, in the beginning, I'll figure it out. What is this sort of mindset that many, and I don't know, I'm going out on a limb here, I don't know the stats, but I'm just going to say that I would say it's more of a female thing. I don't know why, but we it's almost like there's so much pressure on us to do everything and to be organized with everything. We've got to deal with the kids. So for us to then ask for help sometimes, it can be a difficult thing for many. Why do you think that is? Where do you think this all comes from?
So I don't necessarily think it's... I like that perspective, though. I never thought of that. For me, well, in my experience, it was because I had a poor mindset, point blank period. I was not spending that kind of money on something that I could not measure. Coming from a broke or a poor mindset or just growing up poor, I want to be able to measure and know that the outcome of this thing working is high. In the realm of coaching, you don't. They're selling you a promise. So it makes it harder. And if you're already battling, if you're already thinking I can't afford it, you have not developed the mindset that you should have and saying I cannot not afford it. Like if this thing works, think of the changes that it could possibly make in your life, not just in your business, but in your life. So I think it really just develops from a poverty-driven mindset. And so you're able to actually make those changes and make those adjustments to a growth mindset, then you're able to understand the benefits of a coach, the benefits of a mentor. So it's really about personal development and being able to change how you see things and how you think of things and how you're not going to get further any faster unless you pay for the things you don't know so that you can grow.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's come from, I mean, I know, okay, you're there, I'm here in London. I'm sure the school systems are not that far apart, but it seems like we've all been brought up to just be a worker bee, you know? Yeah. You've all been trained from school not to be an entrepreneur, not to think like an entrepreneur, not to have the growth mindset, actually not to really question much, really. Just go to work, slave away to make your boss or the owner of the company the money. You just keep doing what you need to do to get enough money to maybe just pay the bills or maybe... so close that you don't want to take a day off because you don't want to be fired.
Right.
Keeping you in that place. So have you found that it's difficult for people that have come from that? So yes, I suppose we are still talking about a poverty mindset, but it's that being used to being an employee to having the self-belief for knowing that they are worthy of creating their own program and actually making it a success.
Yeah, but that comes with work though, right? Like even for me, I think if I was, I left home 4 years ago. I think even with me, if I was still home, I almost hands down know I would not have the level of success I have now. I already know that. For one, I was surrounded by my circle or whatever. I was limiting myself by not going outside of the thing, right? I was in this box. So you're only going to go as high as the threshold allow you to. So it's really about understanding the world is a really big place. And putting yourself in those environments where you can grow, right? But it's like, again, it takes personal development. Before you start seeking out, you got to do the internal work. And that's what a lot of us do not want to do. They do not want to do the internal work. And I was blaming everybody forever and not realizing as I'm pointing to someone else, my thumb is pointing back to me. And I had to just be still and work on me.
Love that. I mean, that is the sad fact, isn't it? You know, It's always the person in their own way.
It is.
It's quite fascinating because at the end of the day, you know, there's so much knowledge out there. I mean, you've only got to go on YouTube and ask a question. You'll find stuff, but knowledge by itself is not enough to get them to do the thing that they need to do, right?
It's not.
So I suppose it all starts with mindset. It's still got to have the strategies and the processes in place.
But it does start with mindset, right? And from there, it's like you really got to undo all that, all those years of thinking at the end of the day is what it is. But then you have to kind of allow a person to visualize, right? I was never a dreamer. I'm real realistic. Oh, the sky's blue. Okay, the sky's blue. I'm going to get paid on Friday. Okay, I already know what I got to do. I would never think outside of that. Now, everything I know, anything I want in the universe is at my fingertips. I know I have access to it. However, I have to do the things needed for it to manifest. No one can do that but me.
Right. Right. And there's the thing. I mean, it's funny. I was speaking a couple of weeks ago and I said, you know, I'm going to be unpopular, but I'm going to blame, like joking, but I'm going to blame the self-development arena, because 20 years ago when sort of I was reading all the, you know, the normal, the Think and Grow Rich and all these things, but it's all thoughts, which is still the ego mind. And I realized that it's my own fault. It was my perception of what they were saying was wrong. And I went back to a book, and I love, I have him on Audible because I just love his voice, Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. I mean, everybody's probably read that book, right?
Right. But
probably 20 years ago. I'd read it 20 years ago once. And then I started listening to it again and again, and I realized that, let's stop the thoughts for a moment. You know, actually, Karen, verbally and mentally.
Yeah.
And connect with, so it's funny how you can hear something or read something or watch something and you think you've got it. When in fact now I'm like, oh man, I got it all wrong. I got it all
right.
It's so much easier than I thought it was, but it's still, what's easy to do is just as easy not to do.
Not to do. Right.
And that seems to be the thing, isn't it? That trying to get people, some people find are resistant to change. Just the change. It doesn't matter what the change is. They're just resistant to that change. So are you working with more sort of, I mean, you know, you're up there, girl. So, I mean, I'm not there yet, man. But
I'm trying to get the way you are, Karen.
Well, I mean, yeah, you just got to keep going. You know you're going to get there. You just got to keep doing what you're doing. But do you find that there's a difference between working with the ones who are, you know, beyond the six figures, multiple six figures? Do you find they're more attuned because their mindset is right?
It's
more difficult to work with the ones that are just starting out.
So that is very true. And honestly, I approach both avatars differently. You have to have a different, the person that's just beginning, they have no clue. They just know they want to do the thing. They have no clue, right? You got to approach that individual differently and be able to work with them. It's going to require a little more work, right? Mm. Whereas the person that know exactly what they want, they just don't know how to get there. They already know in order for their business to grow, it's going to take investing. They already know that if I am the expert and they trust me, they already know, okay, Precious, this is what it is. This is what I need to get back. Cool. They're like, I love working with those guys, right?
Yeah.
But in my newly found passion, I know I was the one that was holding on to my money and I was not ready to invest, but I wanted to grow. That was me 4 or 5 years ago. So I still have a soft spot for that person. So it's just certain things that I'm willing, like build a course. I can easily build a course with someone that don't know how to start. I could pull it out of them. But as far as something else, I don't have I wouldn't be able to do it effectively. Because you got to know you too, right? I don't have the patience because it's like, me being, I did the work and I have the proven framework, I already know what to do. So I don't want to feel like I'm pulling you. Like how you were just talking about the resistance. I don't want to do that because I'm going to.
I hear you. It's a very difficult balance, and it can be, I don't know about you. I'm quite an empath, I suppose. I when you want them to do the work because you know what they can achieve, but you can't want it for them more than they want it for themselves, isn't it?
Right.
But I still find it, I shouldn't. I'm working on it. But I still have those feelings of frustration because you think, oh, I know you can do this. But yeah, you can't pull them. So for you, so you're helping anybody that wants to create. And so this is quite a wide arena, is it? What's your real passion for working with people? What is it that you really love?
I love the transformation. That is what I love. I love for someone to show up at my door or my cyber door, whatever it is, and just have this pot of spaghetti or to have these thoughts that they cannot filter through. And then after we're done working together, they have something that they can go off in the universe, not only make money though, but they can create impact too. At the end of the day, that's why we're here, right? We're here to help each other. So when I see people that I know I've worked with personally and they're having that level of success that they wanted to do or they wanted to achieve, that's the stuff that make you keep going. Because it's not a rewarding job all the time.
No. And it's funny, isn't it? It's what I have found is that many coaches, because they're natural givers.
Yeah.
In the beginning, they're just, they're not so good at the receiving part of it either. And they have this, again, there is some resistance.
Yeah.
They don't even want to talk about money. It's like, look, think of it as, at the end of the day, you're going to be paid as much as you're helping people. So the more people you help is going to naturally equate to more money. So isn't it funny that we have to, again, that must come from our upbringing, that so many people have this sort of negative connotation about taking money for their services. It's like, well, nobody's a charity, there are.
I know. I deserve to be compensated.
Even then, it's energy. It's all energy.
Energy.
It's give and take. There's got to be a flow. Otherwise, it stops.
Yeah.
So,
like you said, I think even for me, like I've coached, when I first got into coaching, it was 2021. And I didn't set any boundaries. It just completely drove me nuts. So I stopped. I quit. I fell out of love with it, right? But it wasn't them. It was me, because I was allowing all this to happen and I was just drained. And so I was like, nope, I quit. I'm done. I'll focus on something else. But it kept pulling at my heartstrings because people kept calling me and they kept talking about I just need a coach. And I'm like, nope, I'm done. And then I just got to the point. I was like, you want to know what? Because I did more work on me. Now I have the boundaries in place. Now I know what kind of clients I can work with and what kind I can't. It's like I've had to sit still and do that instead of taking everybody. Now I'm bringing their energy into my energy. And it's like I'm wearing all of it. And I'm like, no, girl. So it goes back to doing the internal work. And for me to be the effective coach, I don't want to just coach the coach. Like I'm coaching for you to get to a certain level you say you want to get to. In order for me to do that effectively, I need this kind of person with this kind of temperament. And I have to build this kind of level of patience. So it took me about a year to do that.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's, when we're all starting out, obviously we just want to take anybody. But like you said, sort of getting so... Isn't it funny, though, that you could have done that back then? Like, what is it that stops us? But I suppose that must be in some way related to our own feelings of, again, the self-worth. Am I good enough? Or the imposter syndrome. When we're starting out, wouldn't it be nice to just have a complete shortcut?
Not really. If they got one, Karen, sign me up. I'm the first one. It really would be.
But it seems to me, from what you've just shared with me, that it's almost like, well, you've got to go through it. It's just a sort of natural process. So what point in your journey did you get to the point that, okay, I'm just going to do, or was it that just because you've done the internal work, you just naturally went to that next step?
So for me, I do things in phases. Like, I always will test something, right? I may bring a client on just to test it out. Because before I put something out there and go full throttle, I need to test my commitment level. Because I know, you got to know yourself. I know me, if something is frustrating or I don't enjoy it, I will stop. I know that about myself. And I love that about myself right now. Because before, I was married to the thing. Whether it worked for me or not, I was married to the thing. And now I don't, this is my second half of life. It's going to be enjoyable by any means. So I have to make those spaces enjoyable spaces. And I have to, if it's something I want and I know it don't really coincide with my current state of being, it's like, I'm going to have to create the shift or I'm going to have to not do it. I never want to be.
Is that because your goals changed or it's more, again, I suppose initially we can all start off, we want the money. It's the money, you know, it's the money that's driving. We need the money. And then when you get to another level, it's like, I don't want my time. And
yeah, so it's funny, but honestly, Karen, I was never driven by the money. I think I was never driven. My first goal, my first income goal was I wanted to replace my job, which was only $38,000 a year. That was it. And when it happened so fast, I no longer focused on the money. I focused on being the person I needed to be, because now I knew the money come easy. Yeah. I'm from the streets. So it's like,
about getting there. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the day, it's never about the money. It might be in the beginning if you've really, you know, you're struggling to, you know, you've got to replace that income.
Right.
But once you are in that safe space and everything's paid for, then, is it ever about the money?
But even if, look at this, though. This is why I love the mindset. Even when things aren't paid for, I still never go back and focus on the money. I focus on the thing. I know how to make money. I focus on what do I need to do, because the money, what I just tell you, the money is at my fingertips, but why am I not making it? It's something I'm lacking. So it's maybe I'm not being consistent. Maybe I'm not being aggressive, assertive. Maybe I'm not selling. I don't know. But it's never really about the money. That's why it's always important to always go back to the why. If you say, hey, I didn't hit my income goal this month, the money was there. Maybe you ain't show up. So it's always, I always find a way to bring it back to myself. Like, girl, what did you not do for it to not happen? Because I am in control of my destiny, other than the big man himself.
But you're still in alignment with. So, but this is, you know, this is so true but I don't know. There's so much scarcity mindset out there, so much lack mindset for some that are coming in. That's quite a difficult thing to get their head around until they get there.
Yeah.
And then you can look back and go, but it is about, isn't that then about, it is about that self-belief. If you don't, so many that that I see that they're really passionate about what they do. They really want to help.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something.
It's something. It could be limiting beliefs. It could be self-image issues. A lot of people don't show up because they're not happy with their parents. Or I used to not show up because of my speech. I didn't feel like my speech was polished because I'm the black girl from the projects. I'm like, no, they're going to make fun of how I talk. Today, I don't care. You need to pay more attention to what's coming out of my mouth rather than how it's coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. I wish I could, I say this to my daughters, you know, but that possibly comes with age, maybe. if I could instill one thing, would be to not worry about what other people think. I mean, it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know, we all do it, and I do it myself. I mean, my pink braids, I took them out. My youngest is, just coming up to 19. She was born in Portugal. We lived in Portugal, and these were always my sort of brand, I suppose. I've always had pink braids, and I allowed this old, I went into a shop or a cafe and this older Portuguese guy said to me, "Don't you think you're a bit old for that?" And I went, "Oh!" You know what to say? And I took them out. Can you believe it? I took them out. I allowed somebody that meant nothing to me, but I allowed his opinion to affect what I did. I mean, now I'm 50, I don't care. Somebody said that to me, now I'm like, whatever. I'm just going to do, apart from a gray.
I love it.
But isn't it funny that, it's, how do you get people to overcome that?
It's a process. And I mean, really, you got to get to the root of what it is. Like, everybody don't have the common thing that they're unhappy about. So it's really about getting to the thing. And it really, it's work. But I love being in that space, because once you get past that, it's like you see this butterfly come out of, it's like, wow, where was you all my life? But that's like I really love that part, because once you get a person that come out of that shell and then they start having little bit of success, it becomes addictive. And then they start doing the things that you told them that they need to do. Because all they need to do is see a little bit of traction, a little bit of some of that goals achieved in the beginning. Then it becomes, it becomes like you addicted to it. So
success breeds success, doesn't it? But I suppose for some, when they're struggling on their own, if they're doing a bit, you know, do something one week and not, it's all sort of sporadic and they're still not getting result. Again, it's sort of, that can bring their energy down and down and self-doubt and worry. It's almost like I suppose there's, as I say, there's no such thing as inertia. You're either going down or you're going up.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's work and it's practice. I mean, you've been doing this thing and dealing with this thing for all these years. Even though I've worked on myself diligently, I'm still working on myself. I've been a certain way for 38 years. I've only been in this element for 4. So up until 42, from 38 to 42, I've lived my best life. But the 38 years of bad habits still creep in.
Well, if we're not, I suppose it's like, you know, it's a garden, isn't it? If you leave it, weeds will grow, you know, it'll just sort of, again, we are habitual beings. And as much work as we do on ourselves, we've still got to keep going, because otherwise I can get into my, you know, I have my morning ritual. Things have been going great and I can get complacent everybody. And you start dropping and then you think, no, I've got to get back on. Because isn't it weird though? Because you feel so much better when you are doing the things, doing the work, right? When you are spending time, when you are journaling, when you're meditating, when you're just connecting.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know. I don't know what it is, because I still do it myself, still even now. Between sort of Christmas and New Year, I got a bit complacent and 18 months and, you know, you're like, oh.
It happens though.
Why do we do it?
So I've even been talking to my audience. I've dealt with that probably over the past week or so. Normally the fourth quarter of every year, or at least December, I will take off the entire month and kind of just do nothing, right? But this December, I think I had such a vigorous year. I've done so much in 2022. I really took advantage. And with the doing nothing, it was hard coming into the 2020. It was hard. And I had to reach down and dig deep. And I had to dig on my people, which is my audience. Because I'm like, y'all always say I show up for y'all. I need y'all right now.
Oh, you're back.
I'm gonna change it. So yeah, I needed them, because they would remind me. And okay, here we go. My other camera died. They would remind me that I was useful, that I was needed. And so instantly when I get those messages, they'll DM me or send me an email. And I'm like, girl, get your ish together. You got stuff to do. So now I'm back where I need to be. But it took me about a week to get it together.
Yeah.
So it happens.
So at the end of the day, we are all human. It is can be easy to sort of slip back. I mean, I've got to say, I think next year that's it. I'm not going to be around over Christmas. I think I've got to go to somewhere hot.
Somewhere, yeah.
I can't be doing this. I mean, I'm grateful that my girls are older and I don't have to do the whole, you know, we feel under pressure to do so much at Christmas because it's all about the children. Now, you know what? They don't care as long as they get money.
Absolutely.
Money and food. That they're really not bothered. But it is. It's that dead time between Christmas and New Year that I struggle with, because I'll work hard. Mm-hmm. Give me an inch and I will still take a mile. So if I get out of these habits, then I can actually get really lazy. It's a terrible thing to admit. So I have to make myself, you know, I've got to be up. I'm up at that set time and that is it. Because if I'm allowed to.
Yeah. And it's just old behavior that creeps up. But again, just combating it, right? So you just got to set set in parameters things for yourself. Like I'm used to setting up structures and things for my clients, but I be needing the same infrastructure. So it's getting back into a routine, right? But I have a vision board that's the size of my whole wall. So it's a constant reminder for me every day. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at, you got stuff to do.
And there you go. That's massive. That is, and I really don't think people really understand the power of that, because just like what we've just been saying, yeah?
Yeah.
If you're not around that, it's very easy
to
be distracted by TV. Or, I mean, I don't even own a TV anymore. We don't have a telly in this house. We don't have terrestrial telly. And it's the best thing I ever did. That's 2 years ago. Best thing I ever did. But because otherwise it's so easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
So really what you're saying there is, you know, you can't avoid it. Again, we're bombarded by so many different thoughts and ideas and thank you, Alexa, stop. Oh, I didn't say that name, did I? Can you believe that? But if we're having all these thoughts, it makes sense that we do need, no matter, so you're seven-figure earner and you're still using a vision board. It just goes to show that this is what people need to be doing, to have that constant reminder day in, day out.
Yeah.
Something that you can see, because we are visual creatures.
Right.
I mean, that's massive. Have you had that up all along?
No, only in this phase of life. Only in this phase, right? And which is the phase where I've gained the most success. I told you I wasn't a dreamer. I wasn't the thing. So when I hear people talking all this manifestations and you got to make a vision board, I'm like, get away. But that's why I was stuck, because I couldn't dream. I couldn't visualize anything bigger than my reality. But the moment I made my very first vision board, which was 2016 or something like that, everything that was on my board, it was for the year. I did it in 3 months.
Wow.
That is when the mind started. That's what I said. When you have a little bit of success, it gets addictive. Now you're like, wow, let me see what else I can do. And I just developed that addiction for just achieving. It was just, it could be anything. I get excited about check boxes. Like, I could check it off. Okay. I get so excited, Karen. I'm trying to tell you.
Well, something does happen. We've been told there is, that, you know, we're releasing hormones. So all these thoughts and feelings will have an effect on us. So getting excited and something about checking off things.
Yes.
As long as it's not too. It's weird, isn't it? They say that if you make too big a list, then you don't get the same endorphin rush. And if you just have three things, love that.
I get excited when I see things crossed out. I'm like, you on the money. But
there's something going on. So there you go. So you've given some really important tips there, I think, for people.
Uh-huh.
Number one, vision board. I love that. It's your whole wall. I've only got
a whole wall.
I think, okay, I'm going to update mine then. I'm not going to worry about that. Right. Okay. I'm going to take over the. I've actually. It's funny. I've just moved my bedroom. My eldest daughter's moved out now, but she had so many posters up and this blue tack. So I've stripped it all. So okay, I've got something to do. So you might give me an idea there. I'm going to create a whole wall then.
A whole wall. I had made a reel the other day. Like I'll go up. I'll write on my post-its first, right? Because I'm here. I'll write on my post-its, and I have like a calendar. It's for someone else, it may be a lot, but for me, it's a framework. I'll write down what needs to be done, and then I'll go and put it in an appropriate section on my board. So many people was in my DMs like, Precious, where you get that board from? And I'm like, I made it. I knew my vision has to be that big because I just got so much going on. But I got to see it, right? It's like a constant reminder. Like, you ain't got time. You're playing around.
And there you go. It is that constant reminder, isn't it? I suppose, you know, and that's where I think people may have misunderstood or, again, it was their perception of the film The Secret or something like that. Oh, yeah. You know, you just got to think. Again, a little bit more complex than that. And it's not just thinking about it once. And what you're saying there just sort of drives that home.
Yeah.
Having a really big, and it sounds like you've gone from not being much of a dreamer to being all of a sudden being a big dreamer.
Big dreamer.
What can you remember? What was that turning point in when you decided to, okay, I'm going to, because some people will say there's two lines of thought, right? Some people don't want to aim too big.
Right.
Because it's not believable for them. And I get that because you want it in alignment, your subconscious. Your subconscious is saying, who do you think you are, love?
Right.
But, you know, I would say, no, aim big because if you don't get there, at least you'll get further than the lower goal.
Yeah.
But how did you get around that? What was the turning point for you to think, okay,
the turning point for me, honestly, is I would set my goals for the year, right? My income goals, what I wanted to do. And almost June of every year, I didn't surpass my goals. So for me, that was a thing like, girl, you are not dreaming big enough. That's what it was. It was like, not only that, but also surrounding myself with people that's not like me. So like my spouse, even though I dream now, because he kind of helped me. He's a dreamer. I'm like, I'll say something and he's like, but love, but look at the bright side. He's a bright side kind of guy.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Cause I'm real realistic, right? I'm analytical. And it just helped kind of balance me out. And then when I'm looking at things from his perspective, it's like, it plays out how it's supposed to. Right. So it's like he'll always say, look at the universe. The universe just loves you. So I'm like, maybe I need to adapt this new way of thinking. And it works. It's working.
Fantastic. So share with the audience a little bit about maybe do you have a morning ritual? So you got a vision board. What else do you do to get yourself in the right frame of mind?
I have an AM routine and I have a PM routine. It's funny you asked me that because I just actually put these up. I was listening to a podcast and I'm now in the thing of developing a routine. So my AM routine is first thing I do is drink my water and I started meditating, right? If it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, don't matter. I have to have complete silence. So I no longer take my phones or any kind of devices to my bedroom. I leave them down here in my office. So that morning time is just me, the house, the home is gone, baby gone to school, spouse gone at work. So it's like, it's great quiet time. And I get into my juicing, whatever natural thing I'm doing. Like right now I'm juicing. So I'll drink my juices, fix me something to eat. I started reading, right? So this is a book that I've been reading for the past week now. It's called The Power of Fun. And that's kind of new for me, even though I read, I'm an audible book person.
Yeah, I am, I have to say.
But just trying to get back into that space of enjoying filling myself up before I push myself off to the world. Because I know by the time I get in here, yeah. So yeah. That's like my morning routine. And then I come right to my book, like look at what the task is, what I got to do. Then I develop the PM routine and I'll fill out my book, right? Like what I got to do, my top three tasks for the next day. Do a little bit of meditation. I fold the journal. I haven't done it yet. I'm not going to lie. I'll drink some hot tea or hot milk or something like that. It used to be a cocktail, but it's I replaced that, right? Replacing bad habits with good ones.
So
hot tea, hot milk, something warm, and then go to bed. Like just go to bed listening to some kind of inspirational music.
Love that. And there you go. It does seem to be that it's creating, when you're creating these habitual patterns, it's not the one big thing. I suppose, is it that everyone's just going, they're looking for like one thing.
Yeah.
And they're looking for the next thing that's going to promise them to hit. There isn't one thing. Is there?
No.
It's the accumulation of all the little things.
Absolutely. It's the accumulation. And even if it is the one thing, like that's how my board is broken down. Like even if my big things that I know I want to do, below the big thing is like little things I need to do. And this is the start of all of it. If I create a consistent plan where I'm taking care of myself and I'm coming in here and I'm consistent and I'm pouring out in my community how I was supposed to, I am doing the work that's going to help me achieve that goal. But I'm not even thinking about the goal because my thing is I just got to be consistent. I got to take care of me. Mm. And it's just going to happen. Everything I want is at my fingertips, right? But I got to do the work.
Got to do the work. And it does take discipline, yeah? But yeah, it's just keep doing, not just getting another course or reading another book just keep the doing part. Yeah. That seems to be what's sort of missing.
Yeah.
So for you, to the listeners out there, they might be just got an idea and they'd love to do something, but they don't know where to start. How would they find you?
So I do have a freebie, and that's like a good beginner part. I do have a freebie where it helps you come up with your course or your book idea. And then once you kind of think through the things, then you can get on a call with me and we kind of go through like a validation process. And it's just really unpacking and asking a bunch of questions. Like, is this a viable offer? Like, is this something that people would actually want? Or is this a passion project? Passion projects are great. But if my goal is to help you generate income, I don't work with passion projects.
Excuse me. It's got to be something that you're passionate about, but that is actually going to make you money, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, my goal is for people to live more purposeful lives. And you are not going to be able to do that without making sure that your finances are intact so you can take care of yourself or take care of your family or whatever that is. And we're here to live life in abundance, right?
And that's what I think there's a slight disconnect. And so, you know, my sort of target audience, I deal with a lot of therapists and healers are a little bit more woo-woo,
right?
As I call it. But actually, they're worse because, oh, no, I've just got to give. And well, yeah, but that's still energy. So you're giving. You're still going to have it back.
Yeah.
And there is this sort of, yeah, you've got to follow your passion, but also, you know, your mortgage provider wants paying.
Right.
With real money.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't say like get in the thing for what we do, get in the thing and don't worry about the money. I say I don't worry about the money because I know if I do the work and I serve, the money follows me. But I had to also know that I deserve to be compensated. In the beginning, it was frustrating because I was lowballing myself, right? I was charging low prices for the things I did. And I'm like, this not adding up. And when you just realize what you're doing, the energy is taking, how it's taking time from your family, how if you can't pay your bills, it's like, no, let's restructure this thing. I still want to do this. However, I deserve to be compensated for it. And a lot of people are uncomfortable, like you said, asking for money. And I'm like, no, I know I'm that good where I'm supposed to be paid.
There you go. So that is, so really everyone's got to really look at their own belief system, how they feel about them. And I suppose that's a whole other issue. There's so many different things that could be going on right there. But this is for anybody. Nobody needs to. I mean, we all know that there's going to be some, you know, stuff coming. I'm sure the same as where you are. I'm sure we got it coming here too. You know, there's so many. The prices are rising, and everybody's still living in a little bit of fear.
Yeah.
But you know, really, you're empowering people to realize their own power.
Their own power, because we all have it, right? We all have it, and I wish I tapped into my riches long time ago, but I'm grateful that I didn't, because I needed those experiences to be able to tell a story that I tell today.
I love that. I used to always say, when things would go wrong, I'd go, it's all right. It's going to be part of my story.
Right. Be a part of the story.
Part of my story. It's going to make for a bigger story.
Right. It's a great storyline.
Oh, love that. Love that. Love that. But yeah, so love what you're doing, because it's, yeah, anybody. And like you said right at the beginning, you can create. I mean, I'm not as creative as you. I do what I do, but like you said, the truth of it is that anybody could create a course out of anything, and it could be completely, you know.
As long as it's something you're knowledgeable in, like the creativity part, the creation part, that's what we do. We just need the knowledge. As long as if you have the knowledge, and if you have a creative way to do it, that is... All you're going to hear is ching, 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 ching.
There you go. So the message is, you can do it.
Absolutely.
You are worthy. You are powerful. But it starts with some habitual patterns. So for those who are just listening in and they can't see anything and they can't read anything, your links or anything, what's your website?
www.preciousstevens.com.
Simple. I love that name, Precious.
Perfect. Simple. I like to keep it simple. That's my superpower, simplicity.
There you go. Well, I have a really bad habit. I've simplified a lot of things more recently, but I've got a terrible habit of overcomplicating things. And sometimes it just takes somebody to go, why don't you just do that? I go, think of that. Yes, that's one thing that I'm working on, is trying to keep it more simple. I used to think, I've got to give this and I've got to do that and I've got to give. Well, overwhelm.
Yeah, I did too.
Then you're not going to get anything done.
The simpler, the better. Keep it simple.
But consistent. That seems to be the message. So I love what you're doing. I love your ritual. I do have a sort of similar ritual, although I'm not juicing, I'm the opposite. I'm actually fat fasting. All I consume pretty much is bone broth.
Oh, I heard of that.
And MCT oil I've gone completely the other way. There's no vegetables.
Really?
Yeah, I've gone completely the other side of things. That's what I was originally going to do. So the beginning of lockdown, I come from, as I said, very physical background, fitness and sports therapy. Then I went back into nutrition and studied the ketogenic diet. But even now, I've got another step.
Wow. Karen.
So all the vegans out there will hate me for saying that. But
hey, whatever
after
works.
Christmas, I'm doing clean. Look, there's all roads lead to Rome, don't they? As long as you're doing something that isn't the eating fast food and over processed stuff, and you're doing whichever thing you choose is going to be better than the
right, better than alternative, right?
Yeah, so much. So, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
I love what you do. So. It's preciousstevens.com, and you did mention about a freebie. How would people go about getting hold of that? Is that just going to be on your website?
Yeah, so if you go to the website, the pop-up, it will be either the freebie for the course, or it'll be the freebie for the 28-point business checklist. So it's like an audit for those that's actually looking to start a business or have a business, but have some bottlenecks and can't find where the bottleneck is. It's like, go through the audit and you are able to check those boxes off. Then 9 times out of 10, there's some boxes you can't check off. They're the areas you can work on first.
Right. But again, you know, I believe that everybody needs a coach. So if you want to take the shortcut and save yourself time, and this is it. It is, again, that mindset issue. People don't want to spend the money for an intangible, but it's like, yeah, but your time is money.
Yeah.
So work it out. Well, if I'm means I'm going to get there in 3 months as opposed to a year, then actually that's paid for itself. So,
and that's just one benefit. The benefit I look at is the value I'm providing. I am providing something that you can price at this price. So then, yeah, I deserve to get paid for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And far easier working with a coach.
Yeah.
So for those out there who would like to have you as their coach, again, how do you work? Is it group? Is it one-to-one? How do you work?
Both. So we do have, it's various levels. So one-to-one, that's definitely if you want something built out. So we have done with you products, and then we have done for you products where you give us all of the knowledge, we build out the entire thing and hand you back a product that you're ready to market and price. I mean, you're ready to market and sell. So it really just depends on where you are and what level of support you need. Because some people work better in group, right? Because they kind of build a camaraderie. Then some people like, look, this is what I want right now. I need this done in 4 weeks so I can sell it. Or it's just really individualized, which is why they would hop on a call and figure out, validate their offer, what it is they're trying to do, and see if I can help. Because let's face it, I can't help everyone. It may be someone that don't qualify for anything I have, but I definitely will be able to give them some kind of insight and be able to point them in the right direction.
Fantastic. Love that. Well, thank you so much for your time. And to everybody else that's listening, we will be back. We are now doing these shows 3 times a week rather than just once. So these are going out Monday. That's 2 o'clock. That's London time. So 9 a.m. Eastern time, or Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. That's London time. So that's 2 p.m. Eastern, and now on a Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So as owners of Mintwave Radio Station, also if there are any coaches or consultants or therapists or healers out there that would like to host their own show, please come and get in touch. You can just come to the website or book a call and we can help you get started. So thanks once again to the listeners. I will be back next week, or in a couple of days, depending on with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.